Through this 12th chapter and the 13th chapter, we're going to see some things that I don't want to say I'm going to speculate. I'm not going to speculate about them. But I want to reason together as Paul did in some of his associations with the churches, because there are some things here that I had never really figured out until recently. And you know how I like to share new things from the Bible. And so I'm going to have you thinking about this by the time you leave here tonight, okay? And you will have to mull it over in your mind as to whether it's this way or that way. And so we've been doing an overview of the book of Revelation. We saw John on the island of Patmos, where he'd been banished because they couldn't kill him. And John saw a vision of the post-ascension Messiah, his Savior. And he gave us a description of that in chapter 1, which was past tense. Then in chapters 2 and 3, that was the present tense, as he shared with us the writings that Christ told him to write to each of the seven churches of Asia. And that gave us an overview of the entire church age from the beginning on the day of Pentecost until the end when the church is raptured out. And in chapter 4, John is raptured. He hears a voice and a trumpet, and it says, "Come up hither." And his perspective changes in the book from chapter four at the very beginning. He is looking, first of all, he's looking around in heaven and he's seeing all the different things. He's seeing the 24 thrones in front of the throne of God, and he's seeing 24 people sit on them, and it was the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel seated, the heads of the 12 tribes seated on the thrones. They are worshiping God. They are there to worship God. He sees three cherubim flying above the throne, going, "Holy, holy, holy." So he gives us a little bit of a description of what he sees in heaven. And then we get on into chapters 5 and chapter 6 and the little book with the seven seals, and we got into that. And as the Lord was opening the seals, different things were taking place on the earth. And John was looking down at the earth. His focus was on the earth. When we come to chapter 12, suddenly John's focus is not on the earth, but it is what is happening in heaven. And this is where we are going to want to look tonight, and follow with me as we take a look at this, beginning at Revelation 12, verses 1 and 2. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with a child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered." This can be none other than the Jewish nation. The moon is specifically mentioned because the Jewish calendar is based upon the lunar calendar. 28 days. Every 28 days we have a full moon, or we go through a lunar cycle. And so it's specifically mentioned here. And the crown of 12 jewels referred to the 12 tribes of Israel. She was travailing in birth, and the birth was to bring forth the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Remember, he was born of the Jewish nation. He was the Son of God. Mary was just a human vessel that God used to bring forth the Messiah. Now, John sees this. Then he sees something else, verses 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. This, of course, is none other than the devil. He is a source of power for the Antichrist. When he left heaven, he took a third of the angels with him. Can you imagine that? A third of the angels of heaven followed the devil. And they are now the demons here on earth. And the demons were still confined to hell. Because the demons of hell are from heaven, fallen angels. His sole purpose for being there was to destroy the Messiah, to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ when he was born. And the devil uses all kinds of people to accomplish that. He even used Herod to try and destroy the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what happened in Bethlehem? Remember the wise men that are talked about in the book of Matthew? And when they came asking, where is the king of the Jews to be born? He inquired of his wise people, and they said, he's to be born in Bethlehem. And the wise men said, well, we're going on to Bethlehem. And he said, well, you come back and tell me when you find him so I go worship him. But that's not what he meant. He wanted him to come back and tell him where he was so he could kill him. And that was Herod being used by the devil. King Herod being used by the devil. And remember, they wrote about this in Matthew, chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. Let me read that for you. That's Matthew 2, 16 through 18. And then it says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. Excuse me, I swallowed the wrong way. And slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. I'm sorry. It was all Connie's fault. Verse 17, it says, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted, because they are not. So you see, the devil uses whatever medium he can to disrupt the plan of God. Not just in other people's lives, but he does the same thing in all of our lives. I heard a couple of you say it was a challenge to get to church this morning. Guess who did that? The devil. John was beginning to see how all these things fit together to fulfill God's prophecies. Even though they were in the past, yet he is seeing how it was all accomplished in the mind and in the plan of God. Revelation 12, 5 and 6. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled unto the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days, 1,260 days, 3.5 years. There are multiple prophecies and events associated with these two verses. Psalm 2, 7 through 9. I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Christ came with that power, though he did not exercise it. But one day he will. One day he will. And then you want to be on his side. In Acts 1, verses 9 through 11, we have the incident of Christ's ascension. And it talked about in Revelation 12, 5 through 6. Verse 6, it talks about verse 5, it talks about the child being caught up to heaven. We have that recorded in verses 9 through 11 of Acts 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you to heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go to heaven. Do you see how the whole Bible fits together? Every part. It all intertwines. It all links together. I think that from these two passages, you can see how beautifully the book fits together. And as far as verse 6 is concerned, God is taking care of his people. The woman fled and was kept for 3.5 years. God is taking care of his people. They may not be real faithful right now. They can't offer the sacrifices, for they do not have a temple of the format that God said it needed to be and where God wanted it to be. But God is taking care of his people. He is protecting them. Look at all the attacks against the Jew. True, there have been periods where there has been no Israel. And his Jews have been disseminated all over the world. But little by little, they're coming back together. And we should recognize this as the end times, because God is preparing to have his Jews around Israel, around Jerusalem. Now, he will preserve his people during the last half of the Great Tribulation. And that's what we're being told here by the Apostle John as he looked around heaven and saw these two wonders. I'm going to read another passage, Revelation 12, 7 through 9. Stay with me. Revelation 12, 7 through 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. The dragon prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Question, when did that happen? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about when did that happen? Because there are other parts of Scripture. We're gonna put them together now over the next few minutes. We know in Job that the devil was still in heaven because he appeared before God with the sons of men. Job is the oldest book of the Bible, but when Job was being written, the devil was still in heaven. Think about this. Let me just prove that to you. Job 1, verses 6 and 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord, said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Chapter 2 of Job, verses 1 and 2. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. I thought heaven was a place where those who died in Christ went after the resurrection. And it is. So when was Satan in heaven? When was Satan cast out of heaven? And I've pondered that. And I've sort of wondered how you put this all together. So, where were those who died in Christ prior to Christ's resurrection? They were in a place called paradise. We read about it in the book of Luke. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? That place called paradise, that place called hell, were both in close proximity to each other because they were able to talk across this great gulf. And that was in the center of the earth. But when Christ rose from the dead, remember that the Old Testament saints arose with him and were seen walking about, and many of them went into Jerusalem and were seen. So, if we reason through this, and this is the first time I've really done this, folks, and this is the first time I'm sharing it with anybody, and so don't panic yet. Okay, you can panic in a few minutes. But so evidently, paradise existed until Christ rose from the dead. And when Christ rose from the dead, paradise was no longer in the center of the earth because he took the souls of those who died in Christ to heaven with him. Remember telling Mary, I have not ascended yet, don't touch me. And at that time, he must have taken those souls to heaven to lead them at the throne of God. And heaven became what we know of and what we think of as heaven. Just prior to that, or maybe during that time, when this chapter tells us that there was war in heaven between Michael and the devil. That's evidently when the devil was thrown out of heaven. To do what?
Do you know what the devil did to get thrown out?
Yes, absolutely. We talked about it this morning. Pride. he tried to set himself up above God. And so we have to take all of Scripture together. And we have these little bits and pieces all scattered out, and it's like a big puzzle. We're putting it together piece at a time. So when it talks about war in heaven, I expect heaven to be a nice place. I don't anticipate being at war. That's over. Evidently, it took place at this time. In Romans 8, 33 through 34 says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." There's one part of this that you and I are not going to be able to put together. And that is the timelessness of eternity. That's the one part we can't comprehend or fit in there. Eternity is timeless. No clock. So, just something you didn't expect tonight, but something you can think about for a while. Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Now it's been 2,000 years, but in eternity, in light of eternity, that's a short time. Most people think that they have a lot of time to use as they wish. But by the end of life, they usually find that they have squandered one of the most precious things that God gives us, time. Revelation 12, 13 through 17. "And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman," the Jewish nation, "which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth waters as a flood after the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now the Christian church comes in. We have the Jewish church, the chosen people of God's race. Because the devil has been the enemy of God, he has always been the enemy of God's people, the Jews. Hitler hated them, and they have been hated by most of the world because most of the world doesn't know Jesus. Was he not a Jew? Of course he was. I don't believe in replacement theology, where God made promises to the Jew, God is going to keep those promises to the Jew. He is not going to keep those promises to the Christian church. We have our own promises, and they come from Jesus Christ. But the promises from God to his chosen people are for his chosen people, and one day those promises will be fulfilled. It will happen in the millennial reign over that 1,000 years. God's people are still the Jews. One day they will be restored to the place where God intended them to be. But for now, the Christian church is God's representative on earth. We're not taking the place of the Jew. We had better not fail to represent God and Jesus Christ, because that's what the Jew did. You see, they did not represent God. He finally had to get others to represent God, and that was the Gentiles under Peter and Paul's ministry. So for a while, the Jew passes into obscurity. God has a place for the faithful of his people. We just don't see them right now. So I want to remind you about our enemy. He is a liar. He is a counterfeiter. He imitates the things of God. Remember that. The devil imitates the things of God. He has always done that. When he deceived Eve, he was imitating the things of God. He has done so ever since the beginning of the creation. So now, this finishes up. This wraps up chapter 12. Things that are going on in heaven. Now, we're going to go to chapter 13, and we're going to see a couple of other things. Remembering that the devil is a counterfeiter. He is an imitator. Revelation 13, 1 and 2. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast raise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Keep in mind, John is still trying to share with us what he is seeing. Once again, he's looking down on the earth. He's looking at the things that are happening on the earth. And when it says this beast rises up out of the sea, it's talking about this beast being a man and rising up out of the sea of humanity. It gives us a description of the beast. 10 horns, 10 crowns. Crowns were always the symbol of national authority. So you have 10 nations together. And the beast is coming up out of those 10, the peoples of those 10 nations. Sand is on the shore of the sea. The sea is the sea of humanity. And John is standing close to the humanity as he sees a beast rise up out of the sea of humanity. He calls it a beast because of the creature's appearance. Horns represent national authority, and so this beast is a conglomerate of 10 nations. But only 7 of the nations have influence. 3 of them are powerless. And there are a lot of nations around like that. The others were just symbolic. Notice where he got his power from. From the dragon or from the devil. No question what kind of a person he's going to be. This beast is going to be a political beast. Okay? Not Washington, D.C. Okay? We've got some political beasts in Washington, D.C. right now, but that's not what this is talking about. Okay, let's go on. Revelation 13, 3 through 5. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Again, that 3.5 years. So the world turns to the beast and follows him as the things, as he speaks the things that the world wants to hear. Notice also that the world worships the dragon, the devil. We have people in this nation, in nations all over the world, who today are worshiping the devil. And there is it's a growing trend. Revelation 13, 11 through 14. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the sea. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So this second beast is a religious leader. A religious beast. The first was a political leader. The second beast is a religious leader. And verse 13, and he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of the men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So this beast is as though he had risen from the dead, but he is political. Do you see the imitation? 2 beasts. One political, one religious. The beast comes not from humanity, but from hell. He comes up out of the earth. And what is in the center of the earth? Hell. This is a religious beast. Notice that what he does in verse 12, he causes the people of the earth to worship the political beast. It's the job of this beast to divert the worship of people to the first beast. And the second beast, being religious, leads the world into idolatry. Imagine that. A religious beast leading the world into idolatry. Look at verse 14, what he tells them to do. He tells them to make an image of the first beast. What is that, folks? That's an idol. That's an idol. Revelation 13, 15 through 18. And he, the religious beast, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. 666. I find it interesting that the religious beast is the one who leads people away from God into idolatry. And today, many churches are doing that right here in the U.S. They're doing it, they start with something that is somewhat sensual and yet touches the emotion. They start by changing the music from music that worships our Heavenly Father, music that is He is the subject of. They take it away and they make it the subject, turn it from God to the people. And then to make it more emotional, they add syncopation to it. They add a beat to it. How many times do you hear cars go past you on the street that is actually shaking your vehicle? Connie and I hear that at least 3 times a week, right in our motorhome or in my office here at the church. Because churches are going to music as an entertainment, a source of entertainment, to take them away from the worship of God. That's why we sing the old hymns. Because the old hymns are the good hymns. Doesn't mean that some of the contemporary new hymns are not good. They are. And we will begin singing some of those once we have somebody to sit over here and tickle those little white things. But folks, we've got to be on guard. Because men lead people away from God, back into the world. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Whosoever loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in them. So folks, we want to love God. Okay, any questions about what we've gone over tonight? I'm not going to go into chapter 14 tonight. Yes, Becky. Okay.
How can they turn from that and follow that?
That's a good question. It's a very legitimate question. It's something that many of us wonder about. We wonder how a person, I have wondered, there was a lady that I knew while I was going to Bob Jones University. She was a Catholic lady, a former Baptist lady. She had converted to Catholicism in order to be married to a Catholic man. And then he died. I wondered, how can a Baptist stay in the Catholic Church? Very simply, she didn't know the truth. And you need to know the truth. And the only place you're going to know the truth from is right here. Not mine, yours. You need to be reading your own Bible. You need to be doing your own Bible study. And what we're doing in Sunday school right now is fantastic. Wiersbe has got some really good commentary. And you are building a library for yourself that you can go back and look and see what he has said about the various books. Becky, any of us can commit any sin in the world under the right circumstances. Even idolatry, even murder. So and it will be because of our pride if we do. It's pride. That's what got the devil in trouble to begin with. That's what got him thrown out of heaven. I hope maybe I've given you something to think about, because I've always wondered, how could he be in heaven and here on the earth? And when did he get thrown out of heaven? Well, now we've got a general idea. Okay? Any other questions? Okay. I'm getting you out 5 minutes early, so don't get used to it. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the fact that he inspired your word to be written. Thank you that John was on that island, banished there by the Romans. Thank you that he wrote this closing book in the New Testament. Father, there are parts of this we will not understand, but help us, and help us to walk by faith, help us to live by faith, and Father, help us to accept your power upon our lives, that we might take the next step together of becoming more Christ-like every day, every moment of the day. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you and your Holy Spirit do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming out tonight.